The title of this series is Are You Ready? Now, this urgency in my heart to get us ready to walk through these last days, the last minutes of the last days. And I'm please understand that I'm not trying to be dramatic up here. I have this urgency from the Lord to get us ready, to be successful and victorious the way that he has intended for us to go through these times. We are there. God has planned all along. Here we are. He put us here. He got us born at this time of the earth, at this time of the government, of the condition of the world. Guess what? This is a setup for us. We were set up. So do you think God's got a purpose for you and I during this time? Yes. Do you think he wants us to be prepared and not fluff this off? Absolutely. And our church will be prepared. And as much as possible, whoever listens to the podcast, they will be too. Now, I know there's all kinds of prophetic and teaching going on. It's last days this and last days that. There's a lot of judgment, people preaching judgment and condemning and all these kind of things. Listen, please, please test everything you read. And how do you test it? By the Word of God. Not how you feel, or not what somebody's saying. It's kind of lining up with maybe how you're thinking. Test everything by the Word. There's a lot of false prophets. There's a lot of them that are speaking and preaching part truths. There's a lot of them that got some really wacko stuff out there. I mean wacko. And presenting it as a gospel. It's got a little bit of truth. And it's got a lot of weirdness. Please don't get drawn in. Okay? Most important. Jesus said that there would be false messiahs and false prophets in these times, right before his return. I mean, it would be a plethora, and it is happening. Understand, I've said this, I'm going to keep saying this, we're going to hit some good times. We're going to come out of all the rest of this, and things are going to look good again and get secure, and the stock market's going to go up even more. Things are going to be more successful and more secure, and boy, it's going to be hey, we're back. It's the good life. Yeah, we got a few little glitches going on in the government and stuff, but hey, things are well. Things are good. We're secure. Well, that's going to last a little while, and then the famine's going to hit again. The famine. When I say the famine, I mean the hard times. You think Corona was tough? You think the Corona time was tough and how it shut down our country and how it affected the world? This manufactured crisis. Well, it's going to be worse the next time. Amen. We are to get prepared. We're to get ready. So this series is Are You Ready? My heart, my hope is that people will hear what the Lord is saying. I will not go into exhaustive detail. My heart is to get you so that you study, so that you get into the Word, so that you understand what the Lord is saying and what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and what your part is in getting ready. That is my heart, because there is a corporate getting ready of the church, and then there is an individual getting ready. We are supposed to do this. We're not to get caught off guard. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The title of this message today is Civil Law and Moral Choices. Civil Law and Moral Choices. Now, in the midst of all the junk and the savagery and the evil that's going on all around us in our country, it's going on all over the world, but in our country, which is so... This is not normal. We're not in normal times. This time is an unprecedented time because the last minutes of the last days have never been.
Amen.
Until now.
Amen.
So, as all this evil, savagery is going on around us, the Lord says, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 and 26. This is for today. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. That is one of those deep breath relief times. Now, this is continual throughout the Word. God takes care of His people, and He will. There's a time of, this is a time now of delusion, strong delusion in this world, and it's going to get more. And the wackiness of what you see right now is going to increase. The weirdness, the calling evil good, good evil, it's like people are delusional. You think, how can they believe what is going on, or this is right, or this is good? How can they do that? Because they are living in delusion. They have bought the lie. They drank the Kool-Aid. They said, this is okay, and I'm on board with it. And it's been little by little. But people have taken this in. This is what's transpired in our country over the last 50 or so years. It's going to continue. And I promise you, it's going to get worse. This is not to be disappointing or be a downer, but this is to tell you the real facts so that you can be prepared, you can be ready, okay? One of those things, one of those areas that we have to understand is the balance or the relational aspect between civil law and moral choices. I can't tell you how many people have asked me, do you think I should wear a mask? No, really. Or should I go to the protest? When they were having the lockdown protest. And then there's other protests. Black Lives Matter protest. Or there's lots of protests going on in all kinds of ways. We have to be able, as believers, as disciples of Jesus Christ, I refuse to use the word Christian, because the word Christian, the term Christian, has been so misused that people who are some of the most ungodly people are calling themselves Christians. It is a delusion on their part, and it is also, they're using their influence to influence other people. That this is what Christianity is. It's everything's being turned. I want you to understand this. Everything that we've related to as right and wrong, moral and immoral, is being turned. So you either are a disciple of Jesus Christ or you're not. It really isn't any middle ground. Okay? It is imperative that we understand the difference and the balance, the reconciling between civil law, that's the laws that our country, our state, our city are governed by, versus moral choices that we as disciples of Jesus Christ have made and will make coming up. How do we do this? How do we reconcile it? So this is I'm going to lay the foundation real quick regarding civil law, and this is in the United States of America. This is not in Europe, not in Canada, not in Mexico. This is in the U.S. Civil law comes from, originally, the Word of God and biblical principles when our forefathers, founding fathers, really created the outline of how the United States would work according to the Constitution and Bill of Rights. Everybody got that?
Yes.
Came from the Word of God, came from the Mosaic Law, a lot of the Mosaic Law, and biblical principles, because we used to be a predominantly God-fearing, one God, one Creator, Jesus, the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as one country. That's where our civil law originally came from. Then there is, this is a legal term, the intent of law. The intent of law is the original intended purpose of a civil law. It really was with the godly intent through the founding fathers to protect and govern, to provide freedoms and boundaries in order for people to live together within a country. Then, through the reinterpretation of the intent of civil laws by ungodly and immoral judges and lawyers and politicians, civil law becomes an issue that forces a moral choice. Now, this is the civil law aspect. Regarding a moral choice, we make moral choices when the original intent of a given civil law is perverted. It is twisted. We're seeing that over and over again. That forces moral choices upon individuals to either choose to follow the civil law or make a moral choice. Are you with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. This raises the issue for every disciple of Jesus Christ in how we make moral choices. In order to make moral choices, we have to understand what the biblical laws and principles are that our country was based on, that we got our civil law from. So, where are you going to find that? Exodus, the Ten Commandments, Deuteronomy, Leviticus. It's Old Testament law. It's Mosaic law. It's civil law and moral law. Not the ceremonial law. But those are the principles that we need to understand. Many people who come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have no clue what the righteous law of God is. And so the only basis they have for choices to make, I'm talking about people who have acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the only basis they have to choose from is what they hear maybe in church or what they hear from somebody or social media or what the government says is true and right. We have to refer to what righteousness is in civil law, God's way, and the only way you're going to do that is go back and look at it and see how God's intent of law was righteous from the very beginning and just for everybody. That's what we're based on. We're never going to be able to make a moral choice until we understand what righteousness is through His law. Okay? Please understand that I'm not saying, and I want this to be clear, we're going back under the law. No, we're still under grace. But the law is our tutor, Paul says in Galatians, to help us understand the righteousness of God. And there are many people who call themselves Christians or disciples or believers who do not know what righteousness even is. It's important that we know. If you do not know, I suggest you go back and look at it and read it. The fact that we are facing and will face more moral choices coming soon, it's real. It's very real. And the amount of moral choices that we're going to make when civil laws come out or get twisted or perverted or reinvented, the intent gets totally changed from what it was in the beginning. We're going to have more and more choices to make morally. It's coming. We have to be prepared, ready to make those choices. You can't, at this point in time, in these last minutes of these last days, none of us, as disciples of Jesus Christ, can sit on our hands and allow things to continue to go on as they were, because they're not going to. We cannot be passive or tolerant of immorality that goes on around us. We cannot be passive or tolerant of immoral civil laws. We have to make moral choices, and they will affect us and those around us. But you got to be able to know, how do you do this? Second Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. First of all, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. For all of us that really consider ourselves believers, we have to consider and examine as to whether or not we are truly, truly in faith in Jesus Christ, have received what he's done for us by faith from God's grace. Paul writes, test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. Paul's saying, are you really a disciple? This is real. This is where the rubber meets the road for all of us, because this is going to determine the choices that we make when civil law, or as civil law gets more evil and more evil. The choices that we make, are they moral or are they not? Do they line up with the evil civil law, or they line up with the moral law or the just law of righteousness? Regarding government, civil law, and submission. All governments make and enforce civil laws, regardless of what government you're under. Okay? I want to read to you Romans chapter 13. I'm only going to go into verses 1 and 2. Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. Please read Romans 13 and 14 for yourselves. Verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. What? For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Did God put evil governments, evil, corrupt politicians into place? Almost sounds like it, doesn't. That's not true. Therefore, listen, this is for us. Whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Wow. Let me tell you what Paul's saying. God brings governments to pass. He created governments. There are supposed to be governments on this earth. But God did not and does not and will not ever create or ordain evil and corrupt governments. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to submit to civil government and glorify Jesus. Except when that government creates evil, unrighteous, and immoral civil laws. Do you understand? Do I need to read it again? Yes? God brings governments to pass. Where governments are created, they are here by God. He's ordained that. God does not create or ordain evil, corrupt governments. We, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to submit to civil government and glorify Jesus by that submission. Except when the government creates, installs, implements, and enforces evil, unrighteous, ungodly and immoral civil law. Do you hear it? Okay. Titus chapter 3 verse 1 says the same thing. Listen to this. Remind them, that's us, to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and to be ready for every good work. Huh. Same application here. Except when a corrupt government creates evil, ungodly, immoral civil laws. Now there is a higher authority than this earthly government. 1 Peter 3 verse 22. 1 Peter 3 verse 22. Speaking of Jesus, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers having been made subject to him. What Peter is saying is, above every civil government, corrupt or not, there is a higher governing authority that is absolute in morality, in righteousness, in justice, in every way. Now, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven first before we're citizens of the United States. Amen?
Amen.
Who is the highest authority we submit to? God's. We submit to Jesus Christ, right? His government, the government will be on his shoulders, Isaiah said. He is a higher authority. He is the moral authority over every corrupt or semi-corrupt government, no matter what. So we're subject to civil law, and we glorify him by obeying civil law. Civil law says don't speed. Okay, so we obey the law. We're glorifying Jesus. Just an example. Don't feel condemned if you do. That's not what this is about. I want you to understand how this works. But when a corrupted government like ours, we have very, I know we've got some believers, true believers, in our government. And we've got a whole lot of corruption. When the corrupt government institutes a civil law that is immoral, is ungodly, unrighteous, and flat out evil, then we have a moral choice to make regarding that law under a higher authority, that is Jesus. That means we're going to go against that law. Understand? Let me give you some immoral, corrupt, ungodly, unrighteous civil laws. Legal abortion up to the time of birth. It's a civil law that it's okay. It is a moral choice to say that is evil and not do it, to make a stand. Homosexual marriage made legal in the United States just a few years ago. Civil law, civil right now. That civil law is an immoral law. The intent of law has been being twisted, twisted, and twisted. It is absolutely okay under civil law to protest, part of our rights. And now, rioting, destruction, murder. That's what's happening within civil law, and it's being all blended. What's our choice in this? Time's coming when you're going to be offered or mandated a vaccine in some way. It will be law. It will be the law. What moral choice will you make? Stay home. Stay safe. Shut down. Lock down. Became a law through an executive order. In Michigan, not every state has this. In Michigan, executive orders were legislated as being law. That's why it is important that now that we have the okay to through petitions to bring this to the legislature and turn this thing around, to remove Governor Whitmer's continual extensions of emergency powers by unilateral, by her own determination, to shut down churches, the economy, jobs, relationships, the interaction of people, and making people isolate, wearing masks, stay home, shut down, lock up, close up, became law. What's our moral choice? The petitions. It is absolutely, under civil law, legal to do petitions, at least right now. We have a moral choice. There are a whole lot more of these coming up. I mean, I could give you a whole list of laws that have been changed, civil laws that have been changed, and they require, or they are pointing to, the need for a moral choice. Doing the petitions is a moral choice. It is immoral to have an ungodly, unrighteous governor mandating unilaterally the law or the dictatorship for every person in this state who stands for some of the most ungodly and immoral things under civil law. We have a moral choice to make. Sign the petitions or not. Again, these are just examples. So we can reason out our choices and we can reason out the civil laws as we hear them and understand them and what choice we make. We can reason it out, but we really need to go to the Word. And we've got to understand again what righteousness is according to God's law, because He tells us what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. And the choices that we as disciples of Jesus Christ must make. There's one more consideration in this aspect, you know, and I talked about wearing masks. Many people have asked that. We've all kind of made certain internal declarations about it, probably, because you can pretty much see this is a maskless place. Yes, it's on the podcast. We are a mask-free zone. Amen. Now, I will tell you, there's no sin in wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. But right now, wearing one or not wearing one, you are making a moral choice. Do you understand what I mean by that? Because it's been mandated that everybody everywhere in the state of Michigan will wear a mask at all times. Huh. What are you all doing? You made a moral choice, didn't you? The moral choice is what? I'm not going to wear a mask. Why? What does the Word say? Okay. You got to go to the Word, all right? Do I wear a mask? Civil law under executive order says you have to wear a mask. That becomes law in this state. Morally, if you wear a mask, you're following the civil law. Your moral choice to not wear a mask in church, in a sense, violates that civil law. Have you understood that you made a moral choice not to wear a mask? I'm not going to answer this for you, because what I want to do is I want you to understand the moral choice you made not to wear a mask. Because every one of us is going to face again more and more of these choices and these decisions. Is wearing a mask an evil and immoral law to you? And if it is, why? These are the questions you've got to answer. All right? Again, because I'm not going to be there at the back of your head saying things as more choices come up, more laws come up. You've got to understand how this works. Every decision you make from now on, based on what civil law is and what it isn't, you're going to make a moral choice on every one of them, good or bad. And you've got to understand why. Why am I deciding this? And why is this a moral choice to me? Okay? The last consideration in this is my brother or sister. And I'm going to use the mask thing because it's so prevalent. If I have a brother or sister who is weaker in faith, this is Romans chapter 14. Just keep reading. If you start 13, go right on through 14. Romans 14 verse 13 says, "Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way." If my brother or sister has weaker faith, or to them the moral choice is to wear a mask, what are you going to do? Because it's another moral choice. It's a moral choice with civil law, and it's a moral choice with our brothers and sisters. What do we do? You have to think about these things. My constitutional rights or the civil laws that are around do not supersede my moral choices. Do you understand what I'm saying? My brother's weaker faith counts in this, my brother or sister. It is important that we don't make them stumble because our faith or our understanding of a moral choice is bigger. Does that mean you'll have to wear a mask sometimes? Probably, if you consider them. The guy that was shot in Flint, because people didn't want to wear a mask, and he said, "Hey, you got to wear a mask." So they shot him. Don't do that. All right? We have to consider the civil laws and make a moral choice. We have to consider our brothers and sisters and make a moral choice. Okay? That's the bottom line. Every decision you make now is a moral choice from now on. Moral choices require a stand, and they are costly. You're not going to go with the flow of the world. You're going to make a stand, and it's going to cost you in some way, shape, or form. But listen to this. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us, when we make these moral choices, diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Hebrews 13 verse 6. "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Nothing. I told you, I'm ready to go to jail. They're probably coming again to shut the churches down. I won't be surprised. I have a moral choice to make when or if that order comes. And I've pretty well made my decision. There's a cost when you make a stand, a moral stand. Let me lay out to you real quickly these questions. And these are the questions that I ask myself concerning moral choices versus obeying a civil law. Okay? Number one, what does the word say? First, you always defer to the word of God, because in the word is the righteousness of God, and every moral choice will come out of that. What does the word say? Number two, am I facing a civil law that violates righteousness? Am I facing a civil law that violates righteousness? Number three, Am I willing to pay the price for my moral choice? Am I willing to pay the price for my moral choice? I really don't want anybody to be afraid. There's nothing that we have to be afraid of. We've got the victory, and the grace of God hasn't changed. But I want you to know that the moral choices you make will cost you. Are you willing to pay the price for that choice? Because you may end up losing some pretty important things to you at this time. Please understand this. You can't play around, all right? Are you willing to pay the price, or are you going to go the way the world goes? Because that's really what it is. You can't be passive. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't be passive anymore. Number four, does my choice glorify Him? Does it glorify Jesus? Does it glorify God? Number five, am I willing to lay my life down for others to reach them for the kingdom? Am I willing to lay my life down for others to reach them for the kingdom? This is a part of the moral choice of making a weaker brother or sister stumble. You know, if they stumble, and this is part of what really is our responsibility, if our brothers or sisters stumble because of our faith and they walk away from the Lord, man, I wouldn't want to be responsible. This is the importance that the Lord places on our moral choices. Again, under civil law or how we deal with our brothers and sisters. It's not easy. These things are not easy. Some of these things have to be really wrestled out with the Word and with God's direction. Number six, I think this is number six. Number five, what am I teaching my children, my grandchildren, my brothers and my sisters in the Lord, my friends, my co-workers, because I'm influencing a whole lot of other people with my moral choices in submitting to God versus the government? What am I demonstrating to other people? I have to ask myself this. Next one. What am I showing others about God's kind of love for them? What am I showing others about God's kind of love for them? Next, am I secure enough in the Lord? That's a big one. To do what's right morally. Am I secure enough in Him? In who I am in Him and what I have in Him to do what's right. That security is a big deal. That means there's no fear. Last one, am I making my choices out of fear or out of faith? Am I making my choices out of fear or out of faith? You see what a big deal this is? We don't arbitrarily, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we don't arbitrarily just say, I'm going to do this. We have to think through the reality of our choices based on civil law and, of course, our brothers and sisters. Every single time, if you get used to this, you'll go, realize the impact that you have in your life and through your life to countless other people, because it's big. You are showing and telling and revealing and demonstrating Jesus Christ to all the world around you based on your moral choices versus a civil law. So how do you do this? I mean, how do you really live this way? Number one, you have to consider yourself dead to this life. Now, we think we understand that, and we think we do that. And so often, we live very much alive to us rather than dead. and alive in him. Galatians 2, verse 20. Consider yourself dead in this life. This is his life. This isn't ours. Number two, we must reinforce to ourselves that our life is hidden in him. Colossians 3, 3. Remember, we're a citizen of the kingdom first, before we're a citizen of the United States. If you've ever read The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire or The Rise and Fall of Nazi Germany, I've read a lot of books. I've read a lot of things. And this book being developed right now, it's being written out right up to the end, is The Rise and Fall of the United States of America. You and I, we play a crucial and eternal part in this time in all kinds of ways. We have to see this. Number three in how to do this is choose the moral choice. Make the moral choice in every decision. Every single decision. Make the moral choice. Learn to defer to the moral choice every time. And what God says. Hebrews 13:5. You're not alone. Okay? You're never alone in this. Number four, when you've done all, stand. And stand fast. Be immovable. Ephesians 6:13. Lastly, and most important, be led by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. All of us hear the Holy Spirit. We may not think we always hear, but we do. It is the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Holy Spirit. Him in us. And the truth of the Word. God will lead us through. Remember, we always have the victory. He will always lead us in triumph. His grace doesn't change. His ability, his power to us, his preservation, protection, his reality, his prosperity, his life, his healing, all of it stays the same. But the importance and the potency of our moral choices versus the civil laws we have now and what's coming and every decision that we make from now on is crucial in these days. For every single one of us. Okay, would you stand with me, please? Prayer team, come on up. There's going to be, if you need to minister to somebody or you want to continue praying for somebody, go use the classrooms and or come up and see the prayer team, okay, after the service. Anybody scared of what's coming? It's okay to say I am. Anybody scared of what's coming? Okay. Because you are still the head and not the tail. You still have the power of God. You still have authority. None of that's changed. But what's changed is the wake-up call and the reality and our part. Doesn't get any more real than this. Amen? Father God, in Jesus' name, help us to get this. Please help us to get this. Holy Spirit, help our hearts to receive, understand, know, and get ready to live through these times, the good and what's coming after that. To never forget what this is all about. To understand our crucial role in this time and the moral choices we must make as the times get more and more evil, no matter who's in office. Help us to live this out in you, Jesus, the whole way through. Lord, we have examined ourselves and we are in the faith. We're going to walk it through in you. We're going to be prepared. We're going to excel. We're going to live in the victories. We're going to make moral choices. We're going to be led by you. And Lord, we are blessed beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Have a blessed, awesome week, everybody.